Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tools you need, the people to answer questions and help you find your tool fast so you can be working, not shopping. We sell tools, real tools for real guys at the northeast corner of Kirby Whitten Road and Summer Avenue.
Data message rates apply. National contest.
It's Unicorn Cash time on 92.9. Every hour, weekdays from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. and right now.
All right, this hour's word is volume. Text the word volume, V-O-L-U-M-E. Text that word right now to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Again, this hour's word is volume, V-O-L-U-M-E. Text that word right now to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. I'll have another code word for you at 3 o'clock. One more time, this hour's word is volume, V-O-L-U-M-E. Text that word right now to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Good luck.
It's 2 p.m. in Memphis. Giannotto and Jeffrey time. Get off the fence.
Get off the fence!
Get off the fence!
Mark Giannotto from the Commercial Appeal, along with Jeffrey Wright.
Memphis. The beautiful land in the world.
Memphis, midday afternoon show. It's Giannotto and Jeffrey, live on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Welcome to Paradise.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. As the introduction suggests, you are listening to Jeff Giannotto and Jeffrey. As the introduction suggests also, I am Jeffrey Wright, joined by my partner in crime, the lead sports columnist for the Commercial Appeal. He's at MGiannotto on Twitter. Mark Giannotto, good day, sir.
Woo!
Woo! What a day. Of course,
this is hectic.
The big story to get into, Sam Mitchell is no longer part of the Memphis Tigers staff. Let's tell everyone we got coming up on the program, and then we will get right into it. Of course, producing the program on the other side of the glass, he, of course, is at CDunning929 on Twitter. Connor Dunning, good day, sir.
Good day. I'm glad that Mark came back for a second day.
I'm glad that Mark has now made it to day two.
He liked us.
Get back to me at the end of the day, though.
I was going
to
say,
I'm
not worried about day two. Day three is where I'm starting to get worried. Elliot Perry, of course, does an outstanding job as the radio analyst for the Memphis Grizzlies. He's going to join us. During the next segment, we'll get into not only Tigers, but also we'll get the recap from Elliot of just how indeed he was able to manipulate those ping pong balls and make sure that the Grizzlies wound up with the number two pick. The Lucky Sox really came in huge because also, more importantly, Elliot, of course, got the Grizzlies the number four pick last year. And Jaren Jackson, today it was announced by the NBA, was announced as the first team all rookie team member. So we'll get into some of that a little bit later in the show. We'll get into that with Elliot. Then at 3 o'clock, Connor's going to give you another opportunity to win $1,000. Make sure you're listening for your chance to win Unicorn Cash. We've already had one local winner. And then after that, John Martin's going to join the program. We'll get into the NBA playoffs and more throughout the second hour. But Mark, let's get right into it. You were over at Penny Hardaway's media availability. Let's start with the news of the day. The biggest story thus far is that Penny Hardaway did answer a question and confirm that Sam Mitchell is no longer part of this staff. What was your immediate reaction?
Well, I guess given what had been building, the speculation that had been rising and what you'd heard through the grapevine, it wasn't a surprise necessarily, but it was the most interesting part of Penny announcing it. And we should mention, like, this press conference was more like a victory lap for Penny, but this happened to be the news that came out of it.
Yeah, for those that don't understand, essentially what happens, you see it oftentimes more in football, particularly college football, because the signing classes are so huge, so you're not allowed to discuss players on the record. And so essentially what this is a signing day post-party.
Well, and it was more like just like, man, it was almost like us media members going, man, how... This is amazing, Penny.
Yes.
And Penny going, yeah, this is amazing.
Yes, it is amazing. I find myself agreeing with you.
But no, I actually asked about, I go, is Sam Mitchell, there's been speculation, is Sam Mitchell still on the staff? And he said he made it seem like it was a mutual parting of the ways, that Sam wanted to do something else. Who knows if that's the real story or not? I've heard nothing. I've heard not necessarily anything to the contrary, but it is interesting that he's leaving after just 1 year. But Penny said the most interesting thing that he said, though, was that Sam, he wants to find the replacement for Sam Mitchell by June 3rd, which is when all these, when James Wiseman was on here yesterday, that's when all these kids are going to report to campus for workout, for off-season workouts, is June 3rd, which tells me, I mean, it's May 21st, tells me Penny Hardaway's already been working on a hire. And there's probably some names that he has in mind. I asked him, what was he looking for in a replacement for Sam? Does he want someone like Sam? And he was very non-committal, probably wisely, and basically said, I'm going to sit down with Mike Miller and Tony Madlock and see what sort of person will accentuate the strengths of our staff even more. What I think is interesting, so that press conference ended at 1:20. By 1:35, I'd already heard from two different college basketball assistant coaches.
What did they have to say?
Being like, hey, man, I'll read the exact one. Hey, man, can you plug me with Penny? I would be willing to go there.
I mean, if you're an up-and-coming assistant, this is a pretty darn good gig.
Well, let me just phrase it this way. This was from an assistant at a Power 5 conference school already.
Well, there's no question, and the reason why I think that makes complete and utter sense is we've discussed it. This whole staff is involved in getting players in the door and getting involved in recruiting, but we know who the closer is. We know who the guy that locks the door, and Penny Hardaway is going to help. If you're involved in a kid's recruitment, I mean, the truth is now, today in college basketball, pretty much the easiest way you move up in the profession is get the label outstanding dynamic recruiter.
Well, and here's the thing. He's going to have a wide range of candidates simply because the level they are recruiting at, every assistant wants to recruit at this level and get, you know, they want to be able to say like, hey, I helped recruit James Wiseman. And even if Penny is the real reason why they get him, they can put that on their resume. So you have a wide range of assistants. I mean, we talked yesterday. They could hire, you know, a former head coach who will, you know, help Penny in that regard. I sense, just from getting to know Penny over the past couple of years, he is supremely confident in his coaching ability. So I'm not necessarily sure he is going to pick someone who's going to be an X's and O's guy. I think he's going to go more of, look at this recruiting class we just got pumping this NBA message. Let's get another NBA guy in here.
Well, the only name that I've seen remotely attached to the job, and I stress how early this is in the process, but Dan Wolkin did tweet moments after the announcement. I believe he was quote tweeting Gary Parrish, who was essentially just reiterating what had been said at the press conference that Penny Hardaway has announced Sam Mitchell is no longer part of the staff. The name that Dan threw out is Miles Simon. For those who aren't familiar, Miles Simon played at Arizona. He was drafted by the Magic, and I believe he was with them for the first year in 1999, and then that was Penny's last year in Orlando. So there is some connection there. Miles, of course, has been broadcasting for ESPN recently, but I strongly iterate that was the only name that I saw.
Well, I think Miles is an assistant.
He is.
With
He's
the
been
Lakers.
With the Lakers. I was going to say, and then recently. So he'd been doing...
And he's worked... So Miles fits a lot of boxes, checks a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
An assistant with the Lakers. He coached the California Supreme AAU team. So he gives you ties out west. He's got AAU ties. He's also...
For the record, he was on Luke Walton's staff. I do not believe that Frank Vogel's mentioned one way or the other. One
so
way or the other,
agent.
Correct. Yes.
But so he's coached. He's also coached with USA Basketball. This
correct.
Is a guy who actually checks...
That checks a lot
quite
of
a few
the...
boxes right there. AAU ties... USA Basketball, just finished coaching in the NBA.
Also
been on ESPN.
Also gives Boogie Ellis someone to hang out with because he's an Orange County guy, and you got Boogie, the San Diego connection, so then you get a Southern California guy. So we go from Connor, where we discussed it last week. We'd never even really seen the Memphis Tigers recruit a California kid to now perhaps having an assistant and your starting point guard. being from California. So, again, that is the news of the day. Sam Mitchell is no longer part of this coaching staff. Of course, Mark, was there any clarification anytime anything gets mentioned with the coaching staff? The next name that's going to, of course, pop up is Larry Brown. Did we get any clarification on that front?
So someone asked about Larry Brown, and Penny said, quote, it's a dead issue. Larry's going to remain one of his mentors, but it likely not considered for this job. He said, while he does think coach wants to coach, it's a dead issue. I think it's a non-starter. And, like, honestly, I know, like, Penny wanted him last year from what I understand, but the bottom line is every college program that guy's been at has gone under and has been under NCAA sanctions. Do you really want more of a microscope on you than what, frankly, you're probably already going to have just because you've just from the whole nation in terms of you brought in the number one recruiting class? Do you want to then invite? You're essentially saying, like, hey, NCAA, come
hey,
on down.
Come on down.
And
we
I don't
the door
think
open
you
for
just
you.
Don't want. I mean, I just don't see how you can responsibly have that guy as a major part of your program, as good a coach as he is.
I also thought that answer was a little bit telling, and see if you agree with me on this. It was widely speculated. It wasn't able to be confirmed one way or the other, but there was a pretty consistent narrative out there that perhaps the AAC as a conference got involved and said, if you're going to hire Larry Brown, we need to know why, and we need a pretty damn good reason. And that seemed to kind of really pump the brakes. To me, that statement would kind of jive that, hey, this just is never going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, he called it a dead issue.
Yes.
So it's just not going to happen. It's going to be someone else. I think Miles Simon seems like a good starting point. It's going to be someone like that. It's not going to be, I just don't, even though I think I would maybe look at some former head coaches, I don't think Penny views X's and O's as the thing he needs to fill to accentuate his staff strength. What he wants to do is he just saw how much success he had recruiting this class with this NBA staff model. And he even said that today. He answered a question. He said, we're just different. And you know, they're just different. They can sell things differently than other staffs around the country. And if you add someone to accentuate that, you can keep doing exactly what you've been doing, and you'll have someone like I think John Martin was the one who kind of speculated, like, you don't know how long Mike Miller's going to be on this staff. You have someone who can then, you know, because if you hire, say, a former head coach or someone with no NBA ties, and then you lose Mike Miller after next season to a head coaching job or something, then you just got Penny and in terms of your NBA sales pitch, and I don't think they want that.
See if you disagree with this. I think people overreact on the I want someone with head coaching experience tagline. And here's what I mean by that. I 100% think that there is value to be added for someone that I do think there's an experience needed, someone that has seen almost every single situation there to offer suggestions. But in general, what you're basically saying is I want someone who's been fired. And to me, Tony Madlock, at this point, he provides what the quote unquote someone with head coaching experience provides, which is the elder statesman. He's seen it all. I just think that I don't think that that is that necessary of a tagline or that necessary of a resume line to include in an assistant coaching search. You know what I really want in an assistant coach, Mark? I want the guy that wants to become a head coach. Because that's the guy that for him to become a head coach, he had to do a really, really darn good job for me.
Yes.
All right.
I think you're on the right path there. And I think, like I said, if he wants to fill this slot by June 3rd, I think he's already got the candidates he's looking at in mind. I mean, with what you have to do HR-wise and background check-wise with a university job like this, a public university, I think he's already got a candidate in mind, and I think a quick glance at Miles Simon's biography strikes me as this guy would be a great fit for the staff.
Now, Kevin at Kevin7 on Twitter throws out a pretty good suggestion. This is a example of a head coach that not only has experience but winning at the highest level. Rick Pitino's available.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, if Larry Brown's not going to invite the NCAA, I would think Rick would get the scent off of it, right?
Have Larry as the director, you know, like director of player personnel. Yeah. We'll have Rick Pitino as player personnel.
Yeah.
And Larry as an assistant.
Player procurement's more Rick style.
Yeah. That would be great by Penny. no, but it was a fascinating press conference in the sense that, one, you had that, obviously, but the majority of it was about this recruiting class and just what it means. And what I was struck by is Penny is not, and I don't know if I don't think I expected anything different, but Penny's not shying away from what all this means. He's puffing out his chest a little bit. He wants the expectations. He wants the pressure. And that seems to run in sort of conjunction with what we've come to know with him. I mean, he was puffing out his chest a little bit even last year when he didn't even have a great team. You know, he was, you know, making headlines and things like that. So it's going to be a fun ride. You know, it was a victory lap, and I think he deserves it with what he's accomplished here. I just think he pulled off something. It was interesting. He talked a lot about Dez Merriweather and how sort of because Jeff Calkins actually asked him, you know, did you surprise yourself? And he goes, I don't necessarily think I can surprise myself. And he said this was what he envisioned. He said, yeah, as wild as it seems to Memphis fans that he pulled all this off, this is what him and Dez had in mind when they envisioned when Dez told him sort of as he was in his latter stages of his life, like, you're going to coach East to state championships, you're going to then lead Memphis to a national championship. This is what Penny said. This is exactly what he had in mind. He's executing a vision here. He's not surprising himself. And those ambitions is why I think Memphis loves him. Not just, yes, he's the hometown hero coming home, but he has the ambitions that maybe even us in the city couldn't even dream up. And he's lifting up the entire city. I mean, his quote at the beginning of this press conference was, this is what the fans wanted. This is what the city needed. This is what the school needed. And for us to be relevant around the country again in a positive light and to see Memphis everywhere, that's a good deal. Like, there's a greater why this story is resonating. Yes, it's because Penny Hardaway is Penny Hardaway. Yes, it's because he got the number one recruiting class in the country. But there's a cultural aspect to this that's always been attached to University of Memphis basketball in this city. And we've all known it. We've all been excited about it since he got the job. But the fact that he got the number one recruiting class is now shining a light on that nationally. People nationally are understanding what this means beyond the basketball court. And that's why I think it's easy to say, oh, he's now got to live up to these expectations. And, you know, if they don't make a certain round of the tournament, it's going to be a disappointment. But yeah, I guess yes. But at the same time, he's already accomplished so much just in what this has meant to the city and to the fans of this entity that's always been tied, that's always meant more than just basketball to the city.
And in fairness to Penny on expectations, while we've been discussing what the expectations are and whatnot, Penny has made it quite clear what his expectations are, and he hasn't shied away from them. Maybe he hasn't set them for next season specifically, but that guy has iterated time and time again, national championship, national championship, national championship. So that's clearly what he expects. And then according to—
He said it today, too, by the way.
Yes. And according to Drew Hill, who transcribed Penny's quote for does he shy away from expectations, this is enlightening expanding on what Mark said. Quote, no, that's what we want. You know, this is Memphis. We don't bluff. We want all the smoke. We want everything.
That was great. We want all the smoke. I love that. I haven't gotten to that.
Well, and he made sure to include we don't bluff.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, to your whole idea of, like, he is the guy. I wasn't really ever convinced there'd be a type of coach that would excite Grizzly fans that maybe didn't ever really have a deep interest in Tiger basketball. I'm not even saying that they dislike Tiger basketball, but people that were just kind of neither here nor there on it, like, he is the guy that can make everyone care.
I mean, he's done that. He did that already. And that,
for sure.
To me, it's more bringing in all these, you know, not even the doubt. You know, there's just still people who doubt him. I don't know if I doubt him at this point. just because he's done so much. But it's just the national spotlight he's providing is, one, invaluable to the university, but two, I think it's invaluable to the psyche of the city.
Oh, there's no question. He creates something of pride, and it's something that there's a connection because he's from here and whatnot, and you see all the success he's having. Like, there's people gravitate towards him. A couple other notes from the media availability. Malcolm Dandridge, who suffered a MCL injury, he had it repaired. He did not have the MCL shaving, which is a quicker turnaround. The expectation is for Malcolm to be back around November, correct,
Mark? He said November-ish, but if he doesn't get over the hump quickly enough, redshirting is a possibility for Dandridge this year.
And then, of course, there was the weekly question about, has he talked to John Calipari? He says he hasn't talked to him. I think he said he talked to him the first month, and after that he hadn't talked to him.
He talked to him like a month ago is what he said. It sounds like nothing's happening this year. And maybe they can come to agreement on a neutral site game in Nashville. My guess would be is if Memphis lives up to sort of the expectations this year,
yes,
you could see that game the following year in Nashville or some other neutral site. Cal's not coming here. I'm sorry. I know Penny wants a home and home, but Kentucky's not going to come to Memphis.
I would be stunned. I truly would be stunned if they have a straight up home and home. And then, of course, one other bit of news for those that are curious about the non-serious side of this. Penny also announced that Little Penny's closer to being back than you think.
Here's my guess. Memphis Madness. We're going to have a Little Penny sighting at Memphis Madness. That's my guess. Just a total guess. Other bit of news, actually. He confirmed they are going to the Bahamas.
Yes.
August 12th through the 19th. Going to play 4 games over 7 days in the Bahamas. If my editor is listening right now, I would like to go. Tommy Dees, if you're listening, please.
And if Brad's listening, Mark's going to need a ton of help getting audio from there. He's going to need a ton of help transcribing stuff. And I just think that it makes all the sense in the world. Connor, you can stay here and anchor the thing from the studio.
Me and Drew Hill need to be on site always.
Yeah. Me and Drew Hill might have a knockdown, drag-out fight. Because the CA is going to send someone.
Do the Joker thing. Just break a pull stick in half and see who wins.
I might just try to pull.
We're
going to
have
tryouts.
Yeah.
Make it fast.
But Penny actually thinks, we want the city.
We're a small operation. We have room for aggressive expansion.
Imagine if Penny did that on like a FaceTime with a recruit.
Oh, my God.
But in all seriousness, Penny said, we want the city to come to the Bahamas. That was literally what he said.
He wants to join our team.
But it is it'll be the first time these guys play together in games, this super team, if you will, the first time they play together in games. So that's pretty exciting.
And for clarification, for those that don't understand, I believe it's
every four years
you're allowed to take some type of quote-unquote international trip.
Memphis was planning, when Tubby was the coach, if he had kept the job, they were going to go to Canada last summer.
Wow, that's the worst.
Pastner did that too. I mean, it's because you got to get boosters to pay for it.
Yeah, Ole Miss
did. And Canada's cheaper. Luckily, with Penny here, more boosters are willing to, you know, fundraise and donate money to help the cause. But they were actually eligible to go last year. But I think Penny wisely deferred it to this year with all these new guys coming in.
Penny doesn't strike me as a guy that wants to go to Nova Scotia in early August.
Well, it was going to be Montreal. Let's be fair. It was going to be Montreal. It was going to be like, you know.
Penny just strikes me more as a beach guy than a Great Lakes guy. Yeah. That's just the way that it's been. Yeah. When we come back, Sox is going to join the program. Elliot Perry, former Tiger, great, as well as current Memphis Grizzlies radio analyst. Of course, the team representative over at the NBA draft lottery. He's going to join us next. He's going to tell us how he manipulated those ping pong balls to make sure that the Grizzlies now have a little thing we like to call hope. We come back right here on Giannotto and Jeffrey, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine for Sleepy's Ease, 2790 Kirby Whitten Road, corner of Kirby, Whitten, and Summer. Sleepy's Ease mattresses and furniture by Michael Zellner, where they never have sales like other mattress or furniture stores because their prices are always 50 to 80% below retail prices every single day. Now, you can get a 10% discount on anything in the store when you mention our radio station, this radio show, any radio host or producer, they'll give you that extra 10% off. What's the difference in Sleepy's Ease? Well, it's service. It's taking care of people. That's what Michael Zellner does. And his staff can help you find the furniture that turns your house into a home. Stop sleeping on a lumpy old mattress. Stop sleeping on a busted up old couch or looking at bad dining room furniture. Check out the great selection. Serta Eye Comfort, Serta Perfect Sleeper, Simmons Beauty Rest Mattresses, furniture by the signature design by Ashley and Benchcraft, and you can even make your own pillow at the Phil Station Pillow Kiosk. Sleepy's East, 2790 Kirby Whitten Road, corner of Kirby Whitten and Summer. Call them today, 692-6200. 692-6200, Sleepy's East, where you never wake up on the wrong side of the bed.
If you want wings in Memphis, they're not hard to find. There are dozens of places all over town. The Wing Guru is but one. And yes, the Wing Guru is a little more expensive than most other wing joints. And yes, the Wing Guru might take a little longer to get your wings to your table than most other wing joints. But guess what? It's worth it. The fresh ingredients, the premium oils, and the cook-to-order approach make it all worth it. This is Gary Parrish asking a simple question. Do you want okay wings or great wings? Do you have the patience necessary to get the perfection you desire? If so, pop into one of the Wing Guru's two locations and experience it for yourself. One is at 5699 Mount Moriah. The other is at 7199 Stage Road. And if you can't make it to either location for whatever reason, just have the Wing Guru delivered by ordering via DoorDash at wingguru.com. That's thewingguru.com. Do yourself a favor and go see what everybody in the city is talking about. A locally owned wing franchise launched by University of Memphis basketball legend Billy Richmond. If you take pride in supporting local, support the Wing Guru. That's the Wing Guru online, thewingguru.com. Again, thewingguru.com.
Anyone who's even a passing soccer fan remembers the 1999 Women's World Cup.
She scored!
Most people would tell you 99 was the start of women's soccer. That is, unless you ask the players.
The 91 team started it all.
From Sports Illustrated, this is Throwback, a new podcast featuring the untold stories behind the most legendary moments in sports. Subscribe now for free on Apple Podcasts, Radio.com, and SI.com.
You're a real guy, and you need real tools for real work. You need We Sell Tools. Because, well, that's what we do. We sell tools for real guys for real projects, like a car that needs fixing or things that need to be done around the house. We sell tools for all your projects. Tools. That's it. No patio furniture. No plants. Just tools. We sell tools. Drop in anytime. We're at the northeast corner of Kirby Whitten Road and Summer Avenue.
Now's the time to get a great deal and big savings on a new Chevrolet car, truck, or SUV at Bob Johnson Chevrolet. The all-new Bob Johnson Chevrolet in Covington has 2018 Chevrolet Silverado pickups with up to $12,000 discounts. Get employee pricing on select Chevrolet models, plus incentives on all 2019 model Chevrolets in stock during the anniversary sale going on now at the all-new Bob Johnson Chevrolet in Covington. In the market for a new 2018 Chevrolet car, truck, or SUV, Bob Johnson Chevrolet has a clearance sale on all new 2018 models as well. Bob Johnson also has the new 2019 Chevrolet Blazer in stock. Chevrolet, find new roads. Bob Johnston Chevrolet in Covington. Visit us at tnchevrolet.com.
Spilled your red wine? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker. And is 2 times more absorbent than the leading ordinary brand. So you can get back on track quicker. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
And now, an ad from Mom.
Bundle home and auto with Progressive and save on your car insurance. Excuse me, maybe we should add in the word money so they know that they're saving money. I'm just going to add that in there, okay? Yeah, hello? Just nodding at me. Okay, well, he's got enough buttons to push in there.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Giannotto and Jeffrey phone guests appear on the Landers Nissan phone line. Now, back to Giannotto and Jeffrey. Mark Giannotto,
lead columnist from the Commercial Appeal.
And 92.9 FM ESPN's Jeffrey Wright on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Elliot Perry is, of course, one of the radio analysts for the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network. Of course, a former Memphis Tiger, former Treadwell High School alum. You can always follow him on Twitter at eperry328. All right, Sox, walk us through it. How did you manipulate those ping pong balls to make sure that the Grizzlies wind up with the number two pick?
First, before I answer that, congratulations to you guys.
Thank you very much, sir.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Looking forward to listening more, and you seem like you guys are off to a good start. As far as manipulating the ball, I mean, I can't take any credit for, for what happened last week. I mean, it was, an amazing experience, but I think, too, you know, for our franchise and city, you know, something that was timely in terms of needing something like that to really happen, given the percentages and the odds that we had in the draft lottery.
Elliot, you're up there, and they go to commercial break, and you know that the Grizzlies are going to be in the top four. What was the I know what it was like for me sitting at home watching on TV. What was it like for you? Just it seemed like an eternity, but what was it like during that commercial break?
Well, you know, we knew we were in the top four, so I thought, man, look, you know, we've moved up from eight or possibly conveying the pick to in the top four. So it was just like obviously nervousness in my stomach, but not like, oh, I'm about to, you know, pass out or anything like that. But when Mark Tatum opened number four, and when he opened the letter, I'm looking to my right, and I can see, like, at the very top, you can see the color of a franchise. So when he opened it, I saw gold. I knew it was the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm like, okay, we're in the top three. I thought, fantastic, we're in the top three. We're going to get a really good player. He opened the next letter at three, and I heard Patrick Ewing say, oh, no. You know, I mean, you can see Patrick's face. So I heard Patrick say, oh, no. So I knew it was the Knicks, and I thought, like, oh, my God, we're in the top two, and we have a legitimate opportunity to get the number one pick in the draft, which is anytime you get the number one pick, you would hope that there's a transcending player in the draft. And a lot of people feel like Zion is indeed that. But when we got number two, I was totally happy. I was talking to Patrick afterwards. I was talking to David Griffin after that, and just saying, hey, man, look, we are ecstatic with the number two pick. We feel like whoever that player is that the Grizzlies decide to draft, we're going to get a really good player to pair with Jaren.
Talking, of course, with Elliot Perry, Memphis Grizzlies radio analyst right here. Of course, you can always hear games on 92.9 FM ESPN. Okay, during the commercial break, are you, like, bargaining with yourself, like, okay, well, top four is great, but, you know, if they'll give me the number two or the number three right now, like, I'll take it. Are you,
oh, yeah.
Do you have a number in your head?
Oh, well, I mean,
he wants number one.
Like I said before, I mean, you know, obviously if you want to get greedy, I mean, number one would be. But, again, given where we had come from, you know, the number eight, I mentioned that before. I thought, man, if we get four, you know, that would be great. But, you know, anything in the top three, I thought would be, you know, just knock down, drag out. We would get, you know, for me, most people consider this a top three heavy draft. But, I mean, I think there are a lot of other good players in this draft, and we're going to find that out as these guys go through their careers and they get drafted, and depending on what teams they get drafted at. But, if you would have given me the number two pick right then, you know, before it came back, I would have taken that or three or four.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference between Morant or Barrett?
Yeah, I don't. You know, I think they both bring, you know, something unique to the table. I'll leave that for the Grizzlies staff to do all of their homework, which I'm sure they're doing now, and bringing guys in and making the right pick. But I think, you know, Ja Morant is a guy who brings a lot of excitement to the table. He has a very unique skill set at the point guard spot. He's a guy that's explosive. He can get to the basket and you know, he can run pick and roll, but he's a very good passer and a very good decision maker. At point guard, it's always a position where you're going to have to, you know, give a guy time to develop, give a player time to develop, because it's such a demanding position. So I think he'll make some mistakes, which all of us do. But I think he'll grow into the position when the game slows down enough for him. I mean, you can have a fantastic player in Ja. And I think RJ is a guy who brings another unique set of skills to the table. I mean, he's a big body. I saw him at the draft lottery, and he's a lot bigger than I thought he was. So he's a guy that brings that uniqueness of scoring, getting to the basket. He's great in the open floor. He's very athletic. He can stretch the floor and shoot. Pretty decent rebounder. And a good ball handler. And you know, the one thing about RJ is that, you know, he's been really both of these guys, but, you know, he's been coached well in the best conference in the land, in the ACC. And he, you know, killed the ACC his freshman year. So, you know, both of those guys are really tremendous basketball players.
regardless of who the Grizzlies end up selecting, how do you think this has changed the trajectory, the direction for the franchise, just getting this pick?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I was saying before is, you know, obviously you always want to have a short, long-term goal. I mean, short-term goals are obviously you want to, you know, make sure that your team have the right culture, they have, you know, right coach in place, and, you know, doing some of those things and have a good mix of players. Long-term, I think this changes the trajectory of our franchise long-term because now, you know, what we didn't think we would have, we have now. And now we can pair a really good player with Jerry, and we think we can have two really good young players. And then the rest of it is, I mentioned this on NBA TV when I was in Chicago, is it's like we're not a destitute team. So we still have some really good pieces in place. You talk about Mike Conley is still a guy we have in place. Valanciunas is, you know, a guy who played well for us when he was healthy. Wright played well for us when he was healthy. So we still have C.J. Miles. Dylan Brooks, you know, missed most of last year, so we'll have him back healthy. And so, again, we have a lot of moving parts, but we still have some really good players in place. If these young guys can continue to develop, you know, we can move a little bit faster than we thought. But I think, you know, giving our young guys some room to grow. I think you'll see Jaren take another step this year. Whoever the draft pick is that comes in, you're going to have to give him a little room to grow, and then try to build around those two guys, and looking for personnel needed to, and that's a good fit for those two guys, and what direction you want to play, and what style you want to play now.
Talking, of course, with Elliot Perry of the Memphis Grizzlies radio broadcast network at eperry328 over on Twitter. And then before we get to the Tigers, I wanted to give you another quick thank you, because it's not just the fact that you brought home the number two pick this year. More importantly, you brought home the number four pick last year that situated the Grizzlies to make sure they would be in position to take Jaren Jackson. Jaren, today it was announced by the NBA that he had made the first team all-rookie team, despite, I believe, only playing, I think if I'm correct, Ellie, I think he only played 59 games.
Yeah.
What does that say about, you know, just the overall performance of Jaren this year? Because all five top picks from this year's draft end up making the first team. It was the second time, I know, at least that had happened, but first since the Hakeem Olajuwon, Sam Bowie, as well as the Michael Jordan draft. I think right. That guy turned out to be pretty good. But in terms of what you saw from Jaren this year, you know, what did you like?
Everything. Yeah. I mean, I love his attitude. I love his personality. I love his work ethic. Had some chance to spend a little bit of time with him at the draft lottery as well. Look, when you look at Jaren, I think if you had to draft over again, I mean, I don't think he would be the number four pick, given his ability to score the basketball, which I don't think people realize his skill set down low. He's a great player. He finishes in the open court, but the thing I love about him is he's a rim runner, and you don't have many rim runners now. He runs to the front of the rim, posts up, uses his left hand probably more than he uses his right hand. He showed that he can stretch the floor and knock down some three-point shots for us. And then in the latter part of the season, you started to see him free throw line extended, put the ball on the floor, and then get to the basket. I think that's something he can continue to develop at is his ball handling skills. Obviously, he's a great finisher around the basket. And, you know, the big thing he probably needs to work on, and I think that will come just as he matures in the league, is staying out of foul trouble. He was in foul trouble a lot this year, but you can expect that from a young player. I love everything about Jaren Jackson. And at the number four pick, I was mentioning to Patrick Ewing in at the draft lottery, is we could not be happier with Jaren on our team and in our franchise.
Talking, of course, with Elliot Perry here on Giannotto and Jeffrey. Of course, you're listening to 92.9 FM ESPN. Elliot, let's switch to the Tigers. Just an outstanding recruiting class. Penny Hardaway had a media availability today. Obviously, you're someone who's known Penny for a long time and knows him very well. Did even you foresee that there would be this much success in landing top-name players this fast?
I think he probably may have, I mean, exceeded expectations a little bit. You know, I mean, I think, you know, what he did this year as a rookie coach, did not surprise me. I think where he, you know, did well is really managing his guys. He made some tough decisions. I mean, it probably was hard for him to, you know, not start A-Lo or, you know, I mean, he made some shifts in his lineup. And I think, you know, that's what coaching is about. It's about, you know, making those adjustments, whether that's starting somebody or not starting somebody. You saw him make adjustments during the game. And, you know, you think about the teams that he played this year. He played a really tough schedule this year. And when we were right there with some of the ranked teams this year, and, you know, unfortunately they had the experience down the stretch where they were able to beat us down the stretch. And so I think this year the one thing that he would do is have to manage more personalities. And I think he'll do a good job at that, but we won't be devoid. We won't be void of any talent. I think he has done a tremendous job in recruiting these guys, and it feels like these guys want to play together, and so that's always a big deal when guys want to play together. Now it's just about managing minutes and then building that chemistry and culture.
You've been in the city when there's been great Memphis Tigers teams. You've been a part of great Memphis State teams and seen what happens to the city. Like, what to me, the big, you know, obviously this is going to be a fantastic season, but what strikes me about all this is just how it's captured the city, not just now Penny's higher, but now this number one recruiting class, and now the whole nation is seeing how Memphis Tiger basketball can bring together an entire city. But when you have a magical team, like a magical run, what's it like being a part of that, and what do you think this team could do just in terms of capturing the city's imagination?
Well, you know, I think they're going to capture the city's imagination. I think they've already done that. You know, I think people are just waiting on them to hit the floor. Mm-hmm. The one thing that, you know, sometimes you have to be careful of is you know, over expectation. We know we're going to have high expectations for this team because of the talent, but over expectation, I think, is going to be important for Penny to kind of, you know, I wouldn't say temper expectations as much as really in that locker room, make sure that his guys understand the long game and are playing the long game. I mean, they have enough talent in that locker room. You know, I mean, I hate to say this, and I don't want to jinx them, but I mean, they have enough talent to win it all. I mean, they just have a skill set at guards, at forwards, at big guys that probably can defend well. They can stretch the floor well. They have a lot of guys that can handle the basketball, and so he'll be able to put a lot of different lineups out on the floor, and unique lineups out on the floor that you know, that could combat any team in the country. Again, it's just going to be a matter of, you know, slowly getting these guys to play together, slowly helping these guys build that chemistry, slowly getting the mindset right to understand that, you know, you're going to be every team's big game. Teams are going to want to beat you, and you're going to have to be able to take on that challenge.
I hate to put you on the spot a little bit here, but your name was thrown out there as a possibility to be the next University of Memphis athletic director. Do you have interest in that? If they approached you,
yeah, I mean,
would you listen?
You know, that's a, I think you always have to listen. I mean that's the, mm-hmm. I never thought of myself as an athletic director or even in college athletics at all. So that's a, that's a heavy task and a heavy job. Obviously, I bleed blue, and for that reason, I have a lot of respect for the school. I have a lot of respect for President Rudd and his staff and what Tom Boeing has done there. I always say this, and I say it with, you know, respect is, you know what I mean, having somebody in that position with the skill set to do it. And I think skill set is a lot of different things. And I just don't have the experience to do it. I'll be honest with myself. I'm not, you know, trying to fool anybody. I don't have the experience at the athletic athletic director's position. I think you have to listen, but I want the best for the school under any circumstances.
Gotcha. And then, I mean, obviously you do a ton of work. You've got a lot on your plate already. You do a ton of work with mentoring kids and with the Poplar Foundation and all that. I know school's out. What would you, if someone came up to you and asked you, what can I do? you know, school's out, what can I do to help the kids like you help the kids? What would be your message to people out there in terms of how they can get involved with, you know, not just student athletes, but just students in general here in the city and help the kids in Memphis?
Yeah, I mean, I see there are a ton of organizations that you can you know, point people to. I mean, selfishly, I would point people to the Grizzlies Foundation. I think what we do is unique to probably any professional sports team in the country. And the reason I say that, Jeffrey and Mark, is, you know, one of the things we wanted to do was we wanted to hang our hat on mentoring. And I think mentoring is, you know, people connecting people with people. And so we can talk about basketball. We can talk about all of these other things. And we can do camps and we can do all those other things. And that's great. You know, we can do giveaways at Thanksgiving and Christmas baskets. All those things are great. But to be able to connect people with people is something that's very unique. And I would say as a mentor changed my life. A mentor named Michael Tony really changed my life and changed the trajectory of how I thought about life, how I thought about education, how I thought about basketball, and then how I thought about who I was as a person and how I wanted to develop as a person. And so we have so many organizations that we partner with, from Big Brothers Big Sisters to GIF, you know, to some schools that we partner with, obviously Grizzlies Prep, Soulsville, you know, those schools where we do what we call team mentoring, TEAM, where we pair three adults with six kids, and you meet once a week. That's fantastic. I'm a mentor with Grizzlies Prep in the team mentoring program. And then all of our other partner organizations that we partner with, I mean, they run fantastic mentoring programs. And so I just think that, you know, people can sign up and be a mentor and volunteer to be a mentor. And I think, you know, not only do you help a young person try to reach their full potential and, you know, again, not try to be you, but at least share your experiences with that young person. You know, I just think that that's a way to help change this community and, you know, not just that person, but help change the community. And so I would say, you know, sign up with Grizzlies Foundation and be a mentor. I mean, that would be my pitch.
I got one more question for you before we let you go. Initial impressions of Zach Kleiman. He hasn't been out much in the public. What did you know about him before he got the job? What have you sort of learned about him since you've been around him a little bit, since he got promoted?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I congratulated him. We spent a little time in Chicago together, but I just think that they, you know, they're hitting the ground running. Had a good conversation with him in Chicago about the direction of the franchise. And, you know, I think one of the things that they really want to do is really to set the culture. Or I wouldn't say set the culture. I would say reset the culture and expectations for this basketball team. And really think long-term. I mean, I mentioned long-term and short-term goals, but I think, you know, long-term is when a team really figure out what they want to do and who they want to be. I think one of the things that we're going to have to do and to recreate is who we are. I mean, we're going to have to build an identity. I think that's going to come with the culture, of course. But as an organization, who are we? And I think that's even more important, because as you go out and start trying to seek free agents, as you go out and start trying to seek coaches, as you go out and start trying to seek people who want to work for your organization, I mean, those things eventually come into play. And so I think Zach has gotten off to a really good start. He's hired some good people, and from what I heard, they're just working around the clock. But you know, given the time, we're going to see, you know, how it all works out. But you know, we're all excited about the new direction that we're headed, and getting the number two pick just adds the icing on the cake for that.
Elliot, one last question before we let you go, because I wanted to ask you this. As a former point guard yourself, I think most of us tend to view sports through whatever position we know, whatever position we played, and that's kind of what we tend to focus on. When you look at some of the young point guards that we now see in the NBA, what's one of the skill sets? What's one of the things that you look for that helps you identify, I think this guy's got a good chance to be good?
Yeah, well, I think one is patience and leadership. You know, there are, and I'll give you an example. Even though this guy's not a point guard, but I've been around great point guards, and I've been around okay. I mean, obviously, I was an okay point guard, but I think, you know, I mean, if you've been watching the playoffs with Golden State and Portland,
yeah,
not last night, but the night before last, when Bell missed a wide open dunk. And when they got back to the bench, you can hear Draymond Green telling him, hey, look, you know, don't worry about that. We've all missed shots. We've all made mistakes. You know, I mean, as a young player, and I was mentioning this to the guy I was watching the game with, me and my wife, as a young player, do you know how much pressure that takes off of Bell?
Yeah.
Because Draymond Green had enough leadership and had enough foresight to tell him, hey, don't worry about that. We've all missed shots. We all make mistakes, you know. Put that in the back of your mind. That play is over. Then he came down the middle and dunked again. So I always think about, you know, leadership and some of the guards in the league that I really like to watch play. And that goes from older guys to younger guys is clearly I love to watch Chris Paul play. I mean, obviously he's getting a little bit older now, but he's a guy that's tough, that's patient, that, you know, make the right plays. You know, he can pass, but he also can score the basketball. I actually like Mike Conley. Obviously, I've been watching him for the last 10, 12 years. And Mike is a guy who, and what I really love about Mike is his temperament really never changes. He's very patient. He's calm. He stays in the moment. He doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low. He plays with emotion, but he's not emotional. You know, so as good as Westbrook is, he's also emotional,
yes,
too. You know, he plays with a lot of emotion, but he's emotional, too. So you can see that in the amount of technicals he get. And so, you know, those are some of the, you know, guys high on my list. I love Jrue Holiday and, you know, Dame Lillard. We can go down to Steph Curry. We can go down the list of tremendous point guards in this league. And, you know, there's no shortage of great point guards in this league. And so, you know, I think that, you know, those are some of the components of being a good point guard is you have to be a leader out on the floor. You have to be vocal. I would say you have to be vocal. You have to be able to, and we talk about being a quarterback out on the floor. You know, I think that is a unique skill set because what it requires is you to know everybody's position, and it requires you to really understand how people are playing defense and reading defenses. But it also requires you to understand, you know, the situations. So, an example would be, you know, when I was playing with Milwaukee, I had two guys on the wing who I think could score with anybody. Plus a guy down low. We played with Vin Baker. We had Big Dog on the wing, and then we had Ray Allen on the wing. Well, you know, they were two. Ray and Big Dog were two different players. Big Dog, he just wants the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
Like, give me the basketball and get out of my way. You know, I can get a basket over anybody. And obviously, Ray came off screens and he had the ability to get to the basket and do all those things. And, you know, sometimes you can be torn. You know, sometimes it's Ray has it going. I remember one night Ray had it going. And he had it going really good in Boston, but Big Dog wasn't getting any shots because Ray had it going. And, you know, Big Dog, he wanted shots. And I think as a point guard, you have to be willing to step up and say, hey, you know, we have something going, Big Dog. You know, let Ray play. He has it going right now. And, you know, let's just play through him. And, you know, we'll come your way when he cool down a little bit. And so just kind of owning the situation.
We've said last question twice, but something you said there triggered this last question. And I promise this one is it. In terms of maximizing Jaren's skill set, would a guy that can score on the wing and can really fill it up, would that help him more, or would a point guard that can truly create offense help him more?
I think you're gonna have to look at your team and see what kind of basketball you want to play and what style of basketball you want to play. But you know, I've always said that, you know, I think they're both unique. You know,
yeah.
I mean, having a great point guard is critical to any team. You know, having a guy who's going to have the ball in his hands the majority of the time, that's going to be running pick and roll the majority of the time, and probably with Jaren, that can make the right decision. That's super important. But also, I would say too is, you know, I mean, this is a league where it's a guard wing league now. I mean, guys are going to have to be able to stretch the floor, and your wing guys have to be able to, you know, almost be kind of like guards.
Yeah.
I mean, so they're going to have to be able to put the ball on the floor. They're going to have to be able to initiate the offense sometimes when the point guard can't you know, get the ball and somebody's denying him the basketball and be able to make those decisions. But more importantly, they're going to have to be able to score the basketball as well. I mean that's mid-range and three. I mean, you just need that skill set in this league right now. If you don't have that skill set in this league, if you have a one-dimensional two guy, one-dimensional three guy, it's going to be hard for you to be a really good team in this league.
Elliot, we thank you not only for the number two pick, but also Jaren Jackson. But more importantly, we thank you for everything you do day in, day out here in the city of Memphis and never really ever stopping. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, thank you for coming on, Elliot. Really appreciate it.
Anytime.
That is Elliot Perry again, at EPerry328 on Twitter. Mark, I'm just going to read between the lines. I don't think Elliot wants to be the AD.
Don't think so either. I think... I figured I'd throw it out there. I kind of put him on the spot, but I think his answer was almost like, I mean, if they'd ask, I would listen, but like, I think they can find someone better.
I mean, if they're going to back
better
up.
Better suited, we should say, for the position.
If they're going to back up a Brinks truck to my house, I mean, I'm not going to stop them, but yeah, you know, I think he made it quite clear that he thinks his talents could be best suited elsewhere.
Yeah. No, it was that was a good answer by him.
That was not only a good answer, it was a good political answer. He gave you the answer without upsetting anyone while also being very, very respectful. When we come back at the top of the hour, Connor's going to give you another chance to win $1,000. It's Unicorn Cash right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Also right after that, John Martin is going to join us. We'll get back into the Tigers with John. We come back right here on Giannotto and Jeffrey, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Memphis has been celebrating all month and enjoying everything that makes this city special. We just welcomed the whole world into our backyard to cook out, but now it's time for us to grill up a Memphis original. So we're kicking off grilling season with Memorial Day weekend, and this is Gary Parrish telling you nothing sets you up for the perfect party like a fresh hand-cut steak from Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop. You know Folks Folly, right? The original Memphis Steakhouse. They serve incredible steaks every night, but what you might not realize is that you can have those very same steaks in your own backyard, as well as their ground sirloin, crab legs, lamb chops, sandwiches, pimento cheese, fresh vegetables, everything you could possibly want for a delicious cookout with friends and family. It's all at Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop right next door to Folks Folly. And it's so good, in fact, that Humphrey's staff is going to take off Memorial Day so they can enjoy it as well. So you need to take some time before the holiday to stop by Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop at 551 South Mendenhall. It's the same address as Folks Folly. Or you can order online at humphreysmemphis.com to get everything you need to grill like a legend.
This summer, take the road trip to complete your baseball stadium bucket list.
And when you do, stay at La Quinta by Wyndham Hotel,
where you can now earn and redeem Wyndham Rewards points at La Quinta and thousands of other Wyndham Rewards properties worldwide.
Plus, free bright side breakfast and the free high-speed Wi-Fi so you can stay in the work zone while you're away.
Well, with perks like these, you're going gone.
Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you triumph.
Book direct at LQ.com.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available now at Advance Auto Parts.
Here.
Hey, Amy. Welcome to the Xfinity store. Why are you hiding?
Cameras and microphones are everywhere, even in my house. What if I'm hacked? They're watching me.
Oh, with Xfinity XFi, you don't have to worry. It gives you enhanced security for your Wi-Fi network, so all your connected devices are protected, including mics and cameras.
Oh, that sounds great. Can you imagine if we were actually being recorded right now?
We are being recorded for this commercial.
Oh, I trusted you.
If it's connected, it's protected with Xfinity XFi. That's simple, easy, awesome. Ask how to get download speeds up to 400 megabits per second, or even faster, up to a gig. Learn more or get started with Xfinity Internet for $30 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. Plus, add XFi Advantage for enhanced network security. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay, N63019. Restrictions apply. New performance starter customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary.
Hey,
this is Gary Parrish reminding you that Platinum Jewelers in Memphis, and now also in Germantown, is the place to go for bridal jewelry. I've been telling you about them for years. It's where I bought my wife's wedding ring, and if you're about to make a big purchase, it's the place you need to go to. Platinum Jewelers specializes in engagement rings, wedding bands, and eternity bands, and if you don't find what you're looking for, they can help you custom design it. So if you're thinking of proposing, don't do it until you go see the good folks at Platinum Jewelers. They got two locations in the area. One is at 545 Perkins in East Memphis, and the new location's at 9387 Poplar Avenue in Germantown. That's Platinum Jewelers on the web, PlatinumJewelers.com.
It's the official season of tire swings and tire checks. Now that summer's almost here, keep your family safe by making sure your tires are inflated properly. Right now during the Pep Boys Big Memorial Day Savings Event, save up to $100 on four select Goodyear tires. Includes free one-year roadside assistance, alignment check, and lifetime tire rotation. And if you pay with your Pep Boys credit card, we'll install them for free. It's the Pep Boys Big Memorial Day Savings Event, now through May 26th. Four tire installation required. Offers after mail-in rebate. Credit card subject to credit approval.
Let's up your life with Let's.
Experience the difference of a Spartan mower. Spartan not only looks amazing on and off the lawn, it's packed with standard features like GT Track for precision traction, balance, and control, with optional features like radial front tires and an all-new 360 floating seat for an incredibly comfortable ride. Take command of your yard. Take command of your time. Take command of your life by...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.